We're on now Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, and we started a sugya at the end of last week, a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Papa, and the machlokes was about Parutz Ka'omet, which means that's 50-50. 50 is solid material, and 50 is space, is airspace. And the question is whether such a mechitza is valid or not. Okay then. So that's going to be... Just one second, let me get oriented here so I have the right page, sorry. That's going to be a machlokes between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. So Rav Papa holds that parts ki omed is mutter, meaning the mechitza is materes, it's valid, and Rav Huna, Brei de Rav Yeshua, holds aser, meaning that the mechitza is not valid. So you may recall that we started a brisa that's called Shalosh Midos B'Mechitzos. I got a little bit stuck there, but I think I'm making some progress. So let's just see if we can find a place. Toshma. Just give me a second here. It is, let's see how many lines down from the top. I would say 5 lines down from the top on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 5 lines down. Now this brisa that we're about to learn is a brisa in Masechta Kelim. I'm sorry, Masechta Kelayim. I'm still, my head is still in Masechta Shabbos, where we're learning Kelim. Okay, but we're here in Masechta Erevin, so we're learning not Shabbos and not Kelim, but rather Kelayim. Okay, so he wants to plant his vegetables or his grains in close proximity to a vineyard. So he's got a problem of kelayim. So the only way that he can circumvent the problem of kelayim is by setting up mechitzas. And the brisa is going to give us three categories of, or, yeah, I think the word category is okay. 3 categories of mechitzos that, and set up the requirements of these 3 categories in order to have a valid mechitza. And the Gemara is assuming now that the laws of kelayim in terms of what constitutes a valid mechitza are analogous to the laws of a mechitza, the stat and the definition of mechitza as far as Dinei Shabbos are concerned as well. Okay. Nintzas ata omer, sholosh midos b'mechitzos. So again, we're talking about a mechitza chotzetzes, bein zroim legefanim, and we're going to talk about 3 categories. So now, the brisa is going to analyze the relationship between that part of the mechitza which is solid and that part which is space, airspace. And it says the following. This is category number 1. Kol shu pachos mishlosha. So let's say the mechitza is made of whatever, some sort of wood, reeds. And when you put these reeds together, what is the total width of this omed part of the mechitza? Is kol shu pachos mishlosha. In the first category, the reeds are less than 3 tefachim in width. is tzarech shelo yehei ben zela ze shlosha kidei shlo yizdaker hagdi bevas rush. He says shelo yuchal hagdi likones beinayim bederech merutzaso below ikuf. Okay. So in other words, what we're going to be able to do over here in order to validate this mechitza is we're going to guarantee that the airspace between the kanim here and the kanim there is less than 3 tfachim. If it's less than 3 tfachim, then we can apply the principle of lavud. And if we apply the principle of lavud, then we can imagine that this whole area of space is in fact, again, legally closed off. Now, if it's closed off, then we're going to attach the reeds on the right side and the reeds on the left side as if they were continuous, and we'll be able to create a mechitza. Now in this case, I'm going to assume just for a moment, if you don't mind, like Rav Papa. No, if I care. Let me assume like Rav Huna, that Parutz Ke'omed is not a valid mechitza. Correct? One second, let me just make the cheshbon just one more time. No. I'm sorry, let me go back. Let's assume like Rav Pop. I just want to get a logical, pedagogical way of presenting this brisa. If we assume like Rav Papa, then in one case, which I'm going to describe in a minute, I couldn't care less if the space is going to be 3 tfachim between one reed and another. What's that case? That case is going to be the case where the reeds are 3 tfachim wide. Now, if the reeds are 3 tfachim wide, now the space between the reeds on the right and those on the left is 3 tfachim. Well, that's a case of parts kimaruba. Of parts kaomed. Why? Because I got 3 tfachim of width and 3 tfachim of space. So according to our papa, that's a perfectly valid mechitza. I don't need omed meruba la paritz. Even paritz ke'omed is a kosher mechitza valid. Masha enkein, in the first category, when I have less than 3 tfachim, so if the airspace is going to be 3 tfachim, which means that I can no longer apply the principle of lavud, so it's not closed up, and now I have parutz meruba ala omed. So what I'm trying to explain is the difference between the first category and the second category, which is something that very much bothered my mind last week. The second category says kol shu shlosha, or for example the mishlosha of yad arba, tzarech shelo yehei bein zela zeh kimeloo kidei shelo yeh parutz ke'omed. So let's understand the following. That although in the first category, when the omed was pachos mishlosha, now I'm in deep trouble if the space between this omed and the next omed is shlosha tfachim. Why? Because I don't have lavud, and now I'm going to have parts meruba ala omed. But in a case where category number two, he's got a fence or reeds that reach three tefachim, so then even if the space is another three tefachim and there's no lavud, it doesn't bother me. Why? Because I can be machshir this machitza midin parts ka'omed, meaning I have enough in an omed to make this into a machitza. I don't need lavud. In the first case, if I don't have lavud, I'm in deep trouble, because otherwise, in the absence of lavud, I have parts merubala omed. Let's say, for example, the omed is 2.6, and the space between them is going to be three tefachim. So I've got more parts than omed. You're going to say lavud, but I can't say lavud because I have a space of three tefachim. So therefore, in the first case, the braisa has to insist that the only way I could be machshir this mechitza is if I have less than an airspace of three tefachim, which is called kolshu pachos mishlosha. And if it's pachos mishlosha, then I can apply the principle of love. The principle of lavud is established apparently based on the gedi, the gedi could be bokeabo, and the gedi finds it, a little bit difficult if it's less than three tefachim. So then we set up a din of love. So I can salvage this mechitza even if it's paritz merubala omed, which means the space is 2.9, whereas the solid is only 2.6, because I have lavud. And I am totally dependent on lavud. Mashenkin, in the second category, I have three tefachim plus three tefachim. Notice I no longer have lavud, but it doesn't matter, because now that I have the width of three tefachim, I'm in a situation of parutz ke'ome dami. I've got three tefachim of solid, three tefachim of airspace, and that's fine. That has the same status as omed merubala parts. Again, I'm reflecting the Shita Rav Papa. What I believe is going to happen here in this Toshma, and let's hope that the reality will bear itself out, is that this price is being quoted as a proof to Rav Papa. So we go on to the second. This Kol Shu Shlosha, if he has a mechitza that's three tefachim wide, the Shlosha at Arba, or larger or wider than Shlosha, is then Sarech Shaloye Beino Bein Zela Zeh. We're no longer interested in the three tefachim of Lavud. And the reason for that is because we have Omed Merubala Paritz, or Omed Kip Paritz in the case of three tefachim. But you have to make sure that that is so. That Kimaloa, that the width of the space doesn't exceed the width of the Omed. Kidei Shaloye Paritz. Now here the language of the Brice is very difficult to coin through a pup, as Gemara is going to point this out. It says Paritz Ke Omed. Well, Paritz Ke Omed according to a pup is fine. Okay, we'll see how Rav Papa deals with that Lashon HaBraisa. The Imaya Parutz Merubala Omed, this is perfect for Rav Papa. And basically this last part of the Braisa is reiterating Rav Papa and saying that if you have more parutz than Omed, is Afkenegida Omed Asur. Even in that part of the Mechitza which is standing, so there's going to be a separation Lechora between the Zeroyim and the Gefanim, at least at that particular point where you have a Mechitza that's Omed. No, it's all or nothing. Either you have Mechitza or you don't have Mechitza. And since, in this case, despite the fact that the Omed might be three Tvachim, four Tvachim or more, but the Parutz is greater, therefore you can't plant anywhere in the vicinity of this Zroim in the vicinity of this Kefana. Okay, now we get to the third category, Kolshu Arba. Umi Arba V'ad Eser Amos. Tzarech Shaloye Ben Zela Zek Himlo Shaloye Parutz Ke'omed. V'mahaya Parutz Ke'omed is Kenegeda Omed Mutter. Kenegeda Parutz Osur. So, whereas in the previous category, we had a shear of Omed that was up to four tfachim, but not four tfachim. And in that case, since the parutz was merubal omed, then even the omed is nothing, it's worth nothing, because it didn't reach four tfachim. In the third case, although you have parutz merubal omed, but you have an omed of four tfachim. And once you have an omed of four tfachim, then is keneged ha-omed mutter. You're allowed to plant Zroim and Gefanim on two sides of this Omed. Why? Because the Omed has the shear of four tfachim. That sets itself up as a quasi-machitza, at least as far as what's kenegdo. You know, if you have two things on two sides of a mechitza that is four tfachim, then that four tfachim is a separate entity. You know, as if I'm going to look at the entire, you know, entire vineyard that has to be surrounded on all sides, all around, by mechitzos, then we have a situation of parutz merubal ha-omed. But if I have four tfachim of a mechitza, then as far as that particular area to plant on one side of the four amos mechitza and Zroim on the other side, that's keneged ha-omed, and that's mutter, because it has the shear of four tfach. So that is the brisa. Now the brisa continues with other dinim that are relevant to mechitzos. The im haya omed merubala poritz is af kenegeda poritz mutter. And that's pretty much the finale of everything that we've discussed. That if you want to set up a situation in which you can plant Zeroim anywhere in proximity to this particular vineyard, and you have a mechitza that's rubo omed, then that's good enough, and then you can plant Zeroim anywhere. Okay. Now, the brisa continues, and if you notice that in the last category we said ad eser amos is nifritza biyoser mi eser osur, that when can we validate a machitza based on the halach of omed meruba ala parutz? That's only if there's no pirtza in the machitza that is more than 10 amos. Once you have a pirtza that's wider than 10 amos, it's no longer a pesach, as we've mentioned in many occasions. It's a pirtza, and it basically invalidates the entire mechitza, even in a case of omed merubala parts. So you can imagine you have a gigantic mechitza that may be 50 or 100 amos long, but at some point it doesn't reconnect to the rest of the mechitza because there's an airspace, a breakage of more than 10 amos, then despite all the great work that you put in and the very impressive length of a beautiful mechitza, it's no longer a mechitza. And even though it's way, way, way omed meruba, much more ruba laparitz, but nevertheless it has a pirtza. And in Kalayim, that means he won't be able to plant kill lion. And he says in the footnote, just 1 second. Okay, I'm going to leave out the footnote, but I think it's a fair assumption here that he's saying that that this would fit into the second category, I think. Af keneged omid osur. Oh, we'll see if that premise works, you know, can be supported. Now, Hoyusham. Okay, we're talking about this pirtza that is wider than 10 amos. Kanim hadokarim. These are konim chadim, right, reeds that come to a very sharp point. And as a result, they're very sharp. He inserts these konim into the ground. Okay. The oselehem peah. He says peah means anaf kalua milamala. He puts a vine, so he extends it from one kana to the other. Is then afilu biyoser me eser ama. So now we're getting to the halacha of Tzuras HaPesach. So he sets up a pole that extends from one vertical pole to the other vertical pole, and that's a Tzuras HaPesach, and that operates even if the distance between one vertical pole and the other is more than 10 amos. Okay. Now we go back to the beginning of this brisa. Ketani mias reisha. It says in the beginning of this brisa that if the solid part of the mechitza is more than 3 tefachim wide, up to 4 tefachim is the mechitza is valid. And then it says ubelvad shelo yeh bodin bein zeh lezeh kimeloa. So from one set of reeds to the other, you shouldn't have the same size as the reeds. So it seems like if you had kimloo, which would be exactly the same size, then the mechitza would be invalid. It's tuvta derav papa. Notice here we have a clear case of paritz ke'omed. Now, in the past, you may recall that we've discussed the language of the Mishnah or the Braisa might sometimes ignore or de-emphasize the extra space that you need to fit something in, if you remember. So, Amar Papa, my Meloo, what does it mean that the Braisa says it shouldn't be Kimloo? In other words, that the reeds should not be the same as the rochav, kimlo shala rochav, or I should say it the other way around, that the space should not be kimlo shala rochav shala omed, is nichnas viyotze. What it means is that if he needs a little bit of breathing space in order to set up his mechitza, I'll read to you the beer here. He says, "Shelo yu bein amudim chalal shenitan lahachnis ulahotzi bo amud acher berevach." She came beofen kazen imtsa shaparetz meruba ala omed. So he's basically saying that the kimloo here, if it's nichtas v'yotze, means that there's more parutz than omed. Because if between these two sets of reeds, you have an airspace that allows you to, let's say if you would want to put up another reed to cover the, close that space, you have enough space to put in a reed, and that space means a little bit more than the exact same measurement or width of the konim. So then you end up with parts Murvala Ome. Hachinami Mistabra. The Gemara now wants to bring a support for this explanation, for this defense of Rav Papa from the language of the Braisa. Why midiktani? Because it says in the Braisa, Mahaya Paritz Meruvala Omed is Af Kenegeda Omed Asu. So it means the Braisa disqualifies the Mechitza when it's Paritz Meruvala Omed, and the Mechitza is worthless. But it's only because the Paritz is Meruvala Omed, Ha Ke Omed Mutter. The Braisa would validate a Mechitza if it was Paritz Ke Omed. So Lemet Evi Tuvta. The Rav Huna berated Rav Yeshua. So how is Rav Huna going to defend himself against this braisa that clearly disqualifies a mechitza because it's paritz merubala omed? Amalecha, he's going to turn to Rav Papa with another question. He's going to say, "L'taymech, according to you, Rav Papa, ema seifa. What do I do with the seifa? It says imhaya omed merubala paritz." Is af kenegeda paritz mutter, meaning that the braisa in the second category is only going to validate the mechitza if you have omed merubala paritz. Hake paritz, implying that if it was equal, also is sefer kashler of papa, veresha kashler of huna breid Rabbi Yeshua. We basically have a stira here in the Braisa. Right? The Reisha clearly says that it's only possible if it was Paritz Merubala Omei. And the Sefer, so that's against Rav Huna. Whereas the Sefer indicates that if it was Omei Merubala Paritz, then and only then is it Mutter, is it a valid Mechitza? Implying that if it was Kiparutz, it would not be valid, and that is a support text for Rav Huna. So the Gemara answers, Sefer Rav Papa lo kasha. When the Sefer says that it's only kosher if it is omed merubala paritz, that's not a kasha, because we can apply the old principle of Aydi, right? The symmetry of a braisa. And Aydi, the Tani Reisha, since in the Reisha, when he wants to passel the Mechitza, so he disqualifies the Mechitza because it's Paritz Meruba ala Omed, which is Rav Papa Shita, it's Tana Seifa, Agav the Reisha, it says in the Seifa, Omed Meruba ala Paritz. Only, when is it Kshera? Only if it's omed merubala parts. Meaning, since in the Reisha he disqualified parts meruba, so in the Seifa he says it's kosher if it's omed meruba. But he's using the same language. Oh, so now the Gemara is going to defend Rav Huna. V'Reisha l'Rav Huna b'Rei Rabbi Yeshua nami lo kasha. Again, this principle of ID is going to work in both directions. It could work from the Reisha to the Sefer, or from the Sefer back up to the Reisha. ID the boy lemisne Sefer. In the case of the Sefer, he wants to tell you that it's only kosher in case X, so that's only in the case of Omed Merubala Parutz. It's Tonanami Reisha. He also says in the Reisha, Parutz Meruba Al Ha Omed, when is it disqualified? If there's more Paritz than Meruba. But really, it didn't have to say Paritz Meruba. It could have said Paritz Shaveh Ke Omid. Paritz Ke Omid. Gemara has another kasha here on Rav Huna. Bishleim l'Rav Papa. I can understand the way that the Braisa organizes these three categories. Mishum hachilo ariv lahu vitani lahu. I understand very well why the Braisa differentiates between the first case and the second case. The first case, he's got an omed that is less than what? Less than three tefachim. Is therefore, he must have lavut, because if the parutz is going to be greater than the omud, then the whole mechitz is going to fall apart unless you apply the principle of love. And therefore, in the first case, the Braisa says you must insist on this condition that the airspace is less than three tefachim. Now we get on to the second case where he has three tefachim in the omed. And if he has three tefachim in the omed, then the whole issue can be reduced to one issue. The validity of this mechitza will now depend upon whether it's meruba or not meruba. So the issue of lavud, really, as far as three tefachim is concerned, lavud is irrelevant. When I say lavud is irrelevant, I mean to say the inapplicability of right. If the airspace is such that it doesn't qualify for lavud, that's irrelevant. I don't care if it qualifies for lavud. Why? Because since I have three tefachim in the omed, so even though I've left the parameters of lavud, because I already have three tefachim in the parutz, but nevertheless I have omed kiparutz, and once I have omed kiparutz, then the mechitza is kshera. So the distinction between categories 1 and 2 is very clear. El Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Le'arvinu V'lisninu. There's no difference between the first category and the second. And the Braisa should have combined the two categories into one, and it should have written the following. Kol Shu Pachos Mishlosha U'shlosha. Right, we could have added the second category, integrated into the first category. And even if the omed is three tefachim wide, I still have to insist that the parutz has got to be less than three tefachim, because if it's three tefachim, I'm really out in the cold. I can't apply lavud, and now I have a situation of parutz ke omed dami. And therefore, the Braisa could have insisted, even in a case where the width is three tefachim, that tzarech shelo yeh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tefachim. I cannot undermine the principle of lavud, meaning have a situation where the airspace between here and there is three tefachim, which would make it impossible to apply lavud. And now I'm left with a situation where the omed is equal to the parts. I got three tefachim, and I got three tefachim. And therefore, the mechitza is invalid. So why not just simply combine the first two categories? And by the way, I think this kasha is very similar to what I got stuck on Yom Chamishi. I couldn't figure out the difference between the first category and the second category. Like, who cares whether or not the omed is less than three tefachim or is three tefachim? I mean, the ikar shebikarim is, do I have lavud or don't I have lavud? In both cases. But what I was missing, the point is, that according to Rav Papa, I can be machshir this mechitz of three tefachim in solid width, even without lavud, because I have omei kaparetz nami, in a case where the paretz is three tefachim. That was the point that I didn't have last week, that according to Rav Papa, at least, we don't need lavud. That's what I was missing. And that sets up the difference between the first category and the second category. In the first category, I absolutely need lavud, because I have a situation of parutz meruba. But in the second case, where I have omed kiparutz, I don't need lavud. But according to Rav Huna, we're in deep trouble. So the Gemara deflects this kasha and says the following. Mishum de lo dami psula de resha le psula de seifa. Now I think what we need now is to put on our brisker thinking caps. Because I think what the Gemara is doing now is it's interpreting this brisa in conceptual terms, in terms of abstract dinim, and the categorization here of category 1 and category 2, and the distinction thereof, is in the theoretical world, not in the practical world. It's true that in both the Resha and the Seifa, categories 1 and 2, there's a psul. But the Brisa wants to explain the Tam HaPsul. Let's categorize the nature of the psul. And herein lies the difference between the first and the second category. Psula de Resha. In the case of the Resha, forget about Parutz Ke'ome Domi or Meruba Ala Ome. Forget about that. I've got a situation where a Gedi, if the Parutz is less than 3 Tfachim, can break through. And now the Mechitza is possible under this conceptual category called Gedi Yachal of Karbo. I'll read to you the beer here. He says, Tam HaPsul, in the first category, Shel Pirtzas Shlosha Tfachim Beresha. Why does the first category disqualify the Mechitza if there's a distance of 3 tfachim between here and there, between these omed and that omed? Kisharochav kol omed pachos mishlosh tfachim. So I've got reeds here that are less than 3 tfachim. I got a space of 3 tfachim, yeah, space, and then I have reeds that are less than 3 tfachim on the other side. And again, you and I might say, well, it's pasul midin Paris Merubala Omed, but the Brisa wants to give us a conceptual category called Lovud and tell us that since the airspace is 3 Tfachim, there's no Lovud. And that's called, in the explanation for the Psul in the Resha, Kedesh Lo Yizdaker Hagdi Bavas Achas, he can't thrust himself in one jump to go between these Amudim of the Mechitza. In other words, if it's less than 3 tfachim, then it's going to be a little bit difficult for him. If it's 3 tfachim, in a cinch, you know, he can enter the Olympics for the jump, what's it called, the long jump. And if we have less than 3 tfachim of airspace, so that we can apply the din of lavud, then we don't have this psul of gedi bokeabo, you know, the gedi breaks through. So in other words, we can be so same the area between the two mechitzos, close it up, if the space is less than 3 tfachim. I got another problem, and that's called parts omei mal ruba. But that's not the focal point of the resha. The resha wants to tell you that you're missing in lavud. And if you're missing in lavud here, because you have 3 tfachim of airspace between these and those, then you got a more basic problem. Forget about the sophisticated problem of what's omed and what's parutz. You have something more fundamental, and that is kidim bokimbo. Now let me read to you the note here on the bottom. He says, klomar, Efsha Lomar Shatama Psul Bereshu Mishum Paritz Murubala Omed, Share Bi Ofen Sha'ain Bain Kunalakana Khalal Shloshat Fachim Hamachitza Kshera Afsha Paritz Murubala Omed. Meaning, if we would have Lovud, for example, let's say the airspace was less than 3 Tfachim, So then, the psul of paris merub al omed would not apply. Why? Because lavud would allow me to close that area. And once I close that area, it's completely omed. Again, in an imaginary sense, a legal sense. V'ainu mishum shedonis chalal kisosum midin lavud. So again, if in the resha, even though you've got a lot more parts than omed, it would still be a kosher mechitza if the distance between, you know, these reeds and those reeds is less than three tvachim, because then we would see the whole area as sasum, and it would be omed and not parts. Ella, sibas hapsul bereshi mishum shagidi yochol lavar bo. We have another psul in mechitzas. Forget about meruba. You know, parts meruba. Even if I disqualify parts meruba, I bracket it, I would still passel this mechitza. And the reason for that is because if it's three tvachim of an airspace, the gedi could go through it, and then I don't have an ability to say lavud. Is memela, I can't say it's sasum. Memela, I don't have a mechitza. At the end, it's going to be parts meruba la'amud if it's three tvachim of airspace. V'seifa, psula de seifa, shelo ye parutz meru, parutz ke'omed. So in the case of the seifa, you have three tfachim in the omed, and now the psul. Just one second. I just try to figure out. In the sefer we have love it or not. Let me just go over it one more time. Kolshu shlosha umishlosha v'yadarba. Right. So then toshaloye beizelizek kimelo, which means that we can't have a space which was equal. Again, if it was three tfachim and the space was exactly the same, so then you would not have lavud. So again, you'd get back to gedi. So why do you have to introduce parutz ke'omed? Just one second. Harei be'ofen she'omed meruba l'paritz ein ha'mechitza nefseles, even if there's no lavud, even though the gedi could break through. So again, in the second case, he's telling you that you got to avoid kimeloo, implying that if it wasn't kimeloo, then the mechitza would be valid. And this despite the fact that the gedim are breaking through. You follow? Because in the sefer, the issue of the measurement of airspace is not even an issue. Which means that once I get to omed meruba l'parutz, then the mechitza is valid despite the fact that I don't have lavud. Which again is the point that we made on Thursday, that if you had a very long mechitza of solid substance, I couldn't care less. Again, Eser Amos is going to be a problem, but I couldn't care less how wide the piritza is. And even if it's more than three tfachim or more, which means the gediyim are bokimbo, it doesn't matter. I can still be machshir. As long as I don't have kimloa, which according to Rav Huna means I don't have amud, I don't have parts ka'omei. So Rabosa, you know, this kind of sugya, I feel is very fundamental. We'd have to go over it over and over again, but just to get the the basic structure of the sugya, to make sense out of the brisa and the two categories, according to Rav Huna, we're going to say that in the first case, it's impossible to say that the psul is because of parts merubala omud, because it's very possible that in the case where the airspace is less than 3 tfachim, then even if it would be parts meruba, it would still be kosher because the din of law. So that the ratio certainly is not based on parts meruba. What it's based on is the inability to apply lavud, which means the gediyama bokimbo, because the revach in the width between these reeds and that reeds is 3 tfachim. In the seifa, on the other hand, you cannot apply the psul of gedi and bokimbo, because even if I have gedi and bokimbo, I could still be machshir the mechitza if it would be omeid merubala parts. And according to Rav Huna, if it's parts ke omeid domi, that's a psul. Okay. Now the Gemara asks a stira in the brisa. Right, in the brisa. You have a machitz of kanim, and the width of each kane or group of kanim is pachos mishloshet tfachim, and we said the following. Just one second. In the resha again, the width of each of the kanim is less than 3 tfachim. And the space, the airspace between these kanim and these kanim is less than 3 tfachim, and then you're okay. Then you're allowed to, we apply the principle of lavud, and you're allowed to plant zroim and gefen on two sides of the mechitza. Mani. Now, since you mentioned the number 3, it means that the magic number for lavud is 3. And that reflects the shita of Rabbanan, as opposed to the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Right, Rav Shimon Gamliel says 4. Okay, so mani Rabbanan he diamri pachas mishlosha amrina lavud shlosha lo amrina lavud ema seifa kol shu shlosha umishlosha v'yad arba is the seifa. Is our son Rav Shimon Gamliel? The Omer Pachos Me'arba. Okay, we're going to prove now that the Seifa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That love depends not on 3 Tfachim but on 4 Tfachim. And how do we see this in the Seifa? The Seifa says, Kol Shehu Shlosha Tfachim, Umi Shlosha V'yad Arba. Right? So if the Rochav of the Omer is 3 tfachim, or from 3 to 4 tfachim, it shouldn't be that the airspace is kimaloo. Why? Because if it's kimaloo, then we have a psul of parts kiomed. Oh. But now, if it's, let's say, parts merubala omed, and the brisa says af kenegeda omed asur. So if the mechitza does not have the width of 4 tfachim, it's eino chashuva. But if parts meruba, and because parts of meruba, harei b'teila v'eino materas afilu kenegda, is asa. Son daf tezaino mibez hason l'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Omar pochus mi'arba is lovud. Oh, so he says the following: Kishem shu sover shekol chalal she'ein barbot tefachim enu chashuv v'nidon kisasum. He's applying lovud if it's less than 4 tefachim. Is kach yisbar b'mechitza shekol she'ein baroch barbot tefachim ena chashuva. Lahatir Lizroa Kilayim Kinegdo. In other words, the Gemara is making an analogy here in terms of chashivus of a mechitza. That just like Rav Shimon Gamliel has the shira for tfachim for lavud, which means that if the airspace is less than four tfachim, it's considered sasum, and we apply the principle of lavud. So too, with regard to a mechitza, if it doesn't have the width of four tfachim, it's not chashiv. So basically, what I see here is that Rav Shimon Gamliel puts all the emphasis, the eggs are in a four tfachim basket. De'irabbanan, if we're going to say that the Sefer would reflect the Shita Rabbanan, they hold that the din of lavud is always less than three tfachim. So how do we understand the Braisa that there's a din, sheyesh din echa l'mechitza shirokh v'mishlosh v'yad arba, three to four tfachim, but if it has four tfachim, it gets a different din. Once it hits three tfachim, what's the difference between three tfachim and four tfachim? So it's all one din. The eino mechalkim el bei mechitza she'ein ba shlosha tfachim le mechitza she'esh ba shlosha tfachim. Now it's the critical point of, you know, crossing the boundary here would be three tfachim. You know, you could say, well, a mechitza that doesn't have three tfachim is not choshev, a mechitza that has three tfachim is choshev, because three tfachim is enough, you know, to be mafkia lovud. So then we come up with a stira and the brice, because the resha we pointed out when we were applying the principle of love, it all depends upon three tfachim, that reflects the shita of the chachamah. The seifa reflects the shita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Let me just read to you a summary here. And he says the following. The Sefer, the disqualification described in the end clause, that if you have sections that are at least three tefachim wide, that's based on, or corresponds to, let me read it to you one more time. The Sefer, that if the solid sections of the partition are three, or between three and four tefachim wide, the second category includes sections of the wall up to but not including four tefachim, and rules that when the partition as a whole is invalid, these individual sections are invalid as well until it hits four tefachim. But sections of four tefachim belong to the third category and are individually significant even when the partition, the mechitza on the whole, is invalid. So this braisa reflects the view that four tfachim constitute the minimum significant width of a mechitza. And this corresponds to the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, who says that lavud applies to gaps that are less than four tfachim wide. A span is significant only if it measures at least four tfachim. And the braisa which permits the planting of grains and vines next to the solid sections of a mostly open wall that are four tefachim wide follows the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. He doesn't go into any more detail than we did. De'i Rabbanan, if you hold like Rabbanan, mishlosha v'yad arba, how can you designate a separate category of partitions whose sections are between three and four tefachim wide? Yishlosh of Arba Chadu, according to the rabbis, the Rabbanon, three tefachim, four tefachim are all one and the same. There should be no difference between a mechitza whose sections are three tefachim wide and one that is four tefachim wide. According to Rabbanan, only a measure of 3 tefachim is considered significant, and a gap that is so wide cannot be considered as closed. Therefore, similarly, I guess in a parallel way, sections of only 3 tefachim should be wide enough to permit the planting of grains and vines on the both sides of the mechitza. So that's the Gemara's kasha. All right, then now, B'li Neder, tomorrow we'll see 2 answers to this kasha, one of Abaye and one of Rava.